praise and worship. Great job on the bass. What? That was pretty self-serving. That was wrong. I was seeing if you guys are paying attention this morning. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for continuing to pour out such great blessings upon your people, Father. You don't relent. You don't stop. God, even as we were singing, Lord Jesus, just the awakening in our spirit, Father God. I pray that we would just wake up to know the hope, the calling that you have on our lives. As the Spirit is moving, Lord, you are directing your people. Even right now as I'm speaking, there's direction, there's guidance, there's assurance, there's building of faith, there's character changing, there's things that is lifting us up right now, Father God, in the Spirit, Lord, for this time. Lord God, you are a game changer. Lord God, you are the one who comes and breaks chains and stirs us up, Lord God, and changes our whole lives and points it to the right direction and lifts us up. God, I give you all the glory this morning for what you've already done, what you've already set before us, Lord. And I thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to share with you a scripture in Mark 6 because I believe we're coming into a period of time of signs, miracles. And I was drawn to Mark chapter 6, as I say Matthew, but it's Matthew, Mark chapter 6. And it was a time in Jesus' ministry where he was speaking. He was speaking to the people. And in Mark chapter 6, verse 4, it said Jesus was speaking to them. And he said, "A prophet is not without honor except for his own town, among his relatives and his own home. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." He was amazed at their lack of faith. And the thing that really spoke out to me here, guys, was when he said in verse 5, it said he could not do anything. It would have been one thing if Jesus said he wouldn't do, but he said he could not do. That means something was restricting the flow of miracles to the people there, that he was there. And I believe God is right here. I believe the Holy Spirit is right here to do great signs and wonders. And there is a breaking, there is a miracle anointing that God is wanting to break loose on his church. He's wanting to set us free. And it's not that God doesn't want us to do it. And it's not that he's not willing to do it. But there's something that needs to change. So I look back, and what he goes back here is he says, the people were saying this. And if you go to verse up there, he says, "Where did the man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What is this remarkable miracles that he's performed? Where have they come from? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't you these her sisters that are here?" So what was going on? They were seeing Christ as the humanity. He was seeing Christ as just himself. They were not seeing him as Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, "Is a prophet without honor in his own hometown?" Honor, the word honor, I just want to talk about honor. What is honor? It's valuing. It's worth. It's something that is precious. It's something that you hold in high regard and high esteem. I'm telling you something. In this country, it is very difficult to explain kingdom principles with a democratic mindset. You know what that means? You know what that means? That means we vote for what we want. We tell people what we want, and they need to do it. But that's not the way the kingdom works. It would be something if God was imperfect, and he was trying to lay something before you that wasn't right, and you're trying to correct him. But we don't need to correct God, because he's laid out a perfect plan. When he sent Christ, it was the perfect plan that was set before, even before we've been born. He already had it planned out. It's a perfect plan. We don't need to change it. Our opinion is, it's our opinion. What do you want, his opinion or my opinion? So here he is. You want his opinion or mine? You want my opinion or God's opinion? You know what I mean? Because I have my own opinion. So Christ was there, and they began to look at him differently. They didn't look at him like the Son of God. They were looking at him as a carpenter. They were looking at him as just a regular person. So because of that, they withheld honor there. And because they withheld honor, they didn't value him. And they didn't see him as the man of God that he was called to do, that he was there for a purpose, to set them free, to bring the new kingdom of God to earth. They didn't see him that way. So they didn't respond when he spoke. They just began to question him, and they began to doubt him. And what God's doing is breaking the shackles. He's breaking the chains of our natural eyes. And he's trying to give us kingdom eyes. Come on. When that scripture says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," it wasn't second. Seek ye second the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye third the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye fourth the kingdom of God. Seek ye fifth. Seek ye first. Because it's valuable. Because it's important. Right? It's above all else. Great esteem and great honor. Sometimes we get confused what honor means. But what it is it's something extremely valuable. I have grown up in church for a very long time. I've heard many prophetic words. Do you ever hear that saying, familiarity breeds contempt? Yes. What does that mean? Because I looked it up. Extensive knowledge or close association with someone or something leads to loss of respect for them. They knew Jesus pretty well before he became Christ, before he was anointed, before he was on his mission. They knew him pretty well. And they saw him that way as the past. But they didn't see his future. So they missed their future. Come on. They didn't see his future. They were present past. But I want to tell you, the God that we serve is a present future God. He's seen you in your present, and he's wanting to bust you into your future. Come on, you can look at me as just an ordinary man speaking words, but if you see beyond me, if you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, if you look at the worship and you look at that handsome guitar player, the acoustic guitar guy up there, and you may be drawn to him and you may be distracted by that, but you got to look beyond it. I know it's tough. Yeah, sorry, Chad. What does that mean? I still think it was pretty good. That was good stuff. Where was I? Did we lose it? Beyond, handsome. Kingdom. You see beyond the building. Do you see beyond structures? You see beyond the facade. You see beyond somebody's past. When Peter McHugh spoke, and we went back to the shift a few weeks ago, when I went back to the shift, when he spoke, he said, you know, what our problem is, we hold people hostage to their past behaviors. We think about them because of their past. And we do that sometimes unintentionally. But when we do that, we restrict. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a restriction. I don't want to be a restriction in the house of God. I got 20 pages of prophetic words that God has spoken to this church. Now, I'm going to trade my thoughts about what I think this church should look like and what it should do, and I need to trade all them in, and I need to trade them in for what God says about this place. Because I don't want to live by my opinion anymore. I don't want to live by my opinion of what I think Jesus is. I want to know what God sees in that man so I can receive what he's sending through that man. And that's what honor is. You're valuing the message that the messenger brings. You're valuing the person that God sends to a place, to a region. You're valuing him. When Dave Wagner comes here and he begins to say, I'm not going to stand here and say that every time he spoke that I was thinking, wow, praise God, the man of God is here and I'm going to hear the word and God is his teacher. I know sometimes I've heard it so much it became familiar. And the effect of that word was lost. And it wasn't Dave Wagner's deal. It was our deal. It was my deal. Because the man of God was speaking. And I wasn't seeing him. I wasn't valuing that. I was just like, the word of God is speaking. Something was familiar there. Dave is my friend, and this is going to be a nice message. But no, there was something there to catch and receive. And God wanted to pour out something. Even this very second, as you're sitting here hearing my voice, there is a miracle, sign and wonder that God is wanting to pour out. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to restrict it. I'm telling you, I don't want to restrict it. I've heard Pastor Jake preach for years, and I'm sorry, brother, I've heard him, and I've restricted it because I've heard it before, and I've heard it. That's my deal. That's the man of God speaking. We need to value what God has. God brought him here. He gave him a word to be faithful, and he's only fulfilling what God told him to do, and I value that. You got to see beyond our natural self. I've known Tom for a long time. He grew up in church. I know him. Right? You know me, right? Where does he get all this stuff from? You could look at my natural thing, but can you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying? Can you catch? Can you see beyond me? Can you see him? As Paul said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's what I hope in. Come on, God sent a messenger. How do we respond? So they missed it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want the familiar to affect me. Come on, man. We need to have real fellowship. I'm going to cook you right here. This is, when I say cook you, I mean Graham Cook. You know Graham Cook, Game Changers? I'm going to cook you. Real fellowship is when you know the person standing next to you. You know who they are. You know their identity. You live with them according to who they are because they are living with you according to how they see you in Jesus. And that is the unity that we're looking for. That is the oneness of heart and mind and soul and voice. You see people around you as God sees them and you relate to them as He would. Come on! Come on, when Dave Wagner threw that saw blade across the field, across the yard, and he was saying French words, and God stopped him, and he said, son, I need to let you know you're great right now. I don't know if you see yourself as great. I don't know if we even honor ourselves. We don't even value ourselves. How could we value anything else if we don't value ourselves? I want to tell you how valuable you are right now. There's a man who came down from heaven named Jesus Christ, and he did it in obedience to the Father. And he said, I'm going to take every weight, I'm going to take every sin, I'm going to take everything you did, and I'm going to take the full blame, the full debt, everything that you did wrong. I'm going to put it on the cross because of you, and I'm going to do it for you because my God loves you, He values you, He honors you because you are special, you are a great creation, and He's loved you from the beginning, and I'm going to do it for you. Do you see that this morning? Come on, see beyond yourself. Know your worth and know your value. That's the first thing he's doing. The second thing he's doing is he's seeing the value and worth in others. Do we look at ourselves and do we look at people from our carnal? Or do we hold past behavior against them? It's so hard to shift. And Peter McHugh said the exact same thing. He said when we were shifting and we were changing, he said he lost about half of his congregation, 400 people, 400 out of 1,000. Because they couldn't see him any differently. They couldn't respond to what was God doing. They couldn't see beyond him that God would actually change you and upgrade you in a way and take you to a different place. No, that's not him. This is the one I know. No, God changes us. He forms us. We're like clay. We can go to the next level. We can go to the next place. I see God doing great things in your life. He's taking you to a higher place. Oh, my hip or my back or my head or my brain. No, that's not who he is inside you. Come on. And we talk about upgrade. I don't want to restrict him anymore. That's why we kill negativity. That's why we kill all, because heaven's not negative about you. They're crying out. They're cheering us on. They say, go, Tom. Whoop. Go, Tom. When Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 10, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. We could say honor. We could say receive. We who welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Come on, when the prophet comes and speaks. Praise God, the prophet is coming to the house of God. He has spoken. Do you know the words that God has spoken through the prophet to this house, to this region, to your own life? That's your identity. That's how I see Linda. That's how I see Pastor Jake. Because that's how heaven sees Jenny, my wife. How does God see you? And we get the transformation, we get the change, and we get to have fellowship with that. We get to have fellowship with who we are in Christ, who receives a prophet reward, and he receives a prophet reward. What's the prophet's reward? You get to hear God. You get to see God. Come on this morning, as the worship and the praise was singing, heaven was wanting to reveal itself to you. Heaven wanted to worship with you. It wanted to embrace you. Come on. Welcome it. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, right? Yes. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will see a righteous person's rewards. That's us. That's our brothers and sisters. That's our peers. Come on. I'm telling you. I received the testimony of Danny. I received the testimony of Dave Shervish when he comes over to my house and he starts catering. This man's anointed to make food. And I received the reward. I snorted. I received the reward. Come on, do you want the reward of the prophet who comes with the word of the Lord? I'm going to eat it. boy, food, you know, I get you guys right away when I mention food and I make that analogy. Honestly, I think I get myself. It's like, yeah. But we receive the reward. We begin to minister. What is God doing right now? We need each other. Can I say that again? We need each other. I'm trying to think of the upgrade from better together. I'm trying to think of the upgrade better together. It's almost like we need each other. I need Nick. Nick needs me. Heaven knows Nick needs me. I called Nick up. I said, we got carpet to lay, buddy. And he's like, yeah, I got siding to do. I said, all right, let's go do your siding, and then we'll go do some carpet. Because I don't know how to do steps, bro. I don't. But I think you do. So I want to receive the reward of a man who knows to do steps. He's going to have a nice step job out there for the wedding. Amen? And if anyone even gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Who is that? That's your children. That's those that God has put around you to be accountable to raise up. You're going to give them a cup of cold water? Are you going to share the kingdom with them? Are you going to establish the kingdom? Are you going to show them Christ in them? Are you going to guide them in that way? Come on, you will not lose your reward. Camp's coming up. You will not lose your reward. The parade's coming up. You will not lose your reward. I'm excited about this. This is the kingdom, Linda. This is how the kingdom works. God says something, the earth moves, all creation moves, but sometimes we don't. And we respond, we have a choice to respond when God is speaking. And he says, here it is, and we step out in faith. When he went back there in verse 6, when Mark, when he had that place where he couldn't do no work, he was amazed at their lack of faith. He's like, what's going on here, guys? Don't you realize that God is doing something right now in the midst of you? But you're looking at the wrong thing. Don't we realize, community church, what God is doing right now? Do we realize, community church, the season of time that God has brought us in right now? Do we see, people of God, the move in the North Country, that this is called to be an epicenter where God's going to move out and branch out? Did you know that? That that's been prophesied over you. The word of God has been, that this would be an apostolic resource center. Did you forget what the prophet said? Did we miss our reward? Did we not able to receive our miracle? For God spoke. He spoke to you. He spoke to you. How did we catch it? Did we see? Well, that can't happen here. Is that what we said? Did we look at Jesus as a carpenter? Well, he's a carpenter boy. His sisters are right here. He's no thing. But he spoke. The prophet spoke. Honor, value, worth. That's how the kingdom works. We're learning how the kingdom works. It comes first. And we lay down, it comes first. It comes first. He's calling us to first things. So, the faith. In Matthew 8:5-13, I'm going to give you an example of great faith. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. The Lord said, my servant, he said to the Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus said to him, shall I come to heal him? And the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell you this, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Say, Jesus was amazed. Jesus was amazed. What amazed Jesus? He was amazed. Jesus was amazed. Jesus was amazed. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to this who followed him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Who was in Israel? Jesus, yeah. Well, what about John the Baptist? He had more faith than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the greatest of all prophets to his day. There was no greater than John the Baptist. So you're telling me the centurion had more faith than Elijah? You're telling me the centurion had more faith than Moses? You're telling me this had more David? You're telling me this centurion had more than John the Baptist? This centurion? I don't think he knew as much about the Bible as John the Baptist or any of the Elijah. I could make a bet on that. I bet you I'd win. But yet he had greater faith than all of them. Why? He understood kingdom. When God spoke, that's the done deal. No. When he spoke, it's a done deal. No, you don't understand, Tom, because there's a little negotiation that goes on in heaven when God speaks. We have to take a vote. Everybody, let's vote whether or not we're going to follow God. I don't even like saying that. When God speaks, everything changes. Everything has to move when he speaks. Everything changes. Gold coins come out of fish's mouth. Anything happens. Nothing's impossible with God. So when he speaks, and we've been listening to the worship, did you hear about the awakening? Wake up, people of God. Wake up. God is speaking. And when he speaks, it's a done deal. This is what the centurion knew. He says, I am a man under authority. He gave honor. Here was a conquered man. Jesus was a conquered civilization. He was a centurion in the natural. He was over Jesus. He was a soldier. He conquered that land. But he come to Jesus, and he saw the authority. He saw, he honored, he respect, he valued. He knew he was a man of authority, and he bowed down, and he said, yes, just say the words, because they have to obey you, because you have all authority and power over everything. You say the words, it's been spoken. There have been words that have been spoken over your life, and the enemy has come to steal every word, because it's your response to the word. It's your understanding of the word. It's you seeing beyond the situation and knowing what God says. And you got to take that word, and you hold that word up to God, and you say, you said that nations would come. You said that I am divinely appointed to set people free. You said I would speak into people's lives. You said I was a game changer because of Christ in me. You said it. Yes, yes, and you throw away what you think. Throw it all away. Throw away what I think. I'm trading it in. Come on, because you said. What did you say? What's all that prophetic word? We printed them out. 20 pages sat back there on the table, and they were in stacks. Do you value that? God said something about community church. God said something about the Northwest Territory. What did he say? What did he say? You better find out what he said. What did he say about Linda Packard? This is a prophet. She's going to speak. She has spoken. That's how I see Linda. Do you see her that way? Don't restrict. We're not going to restrict anymore. Come on, let's grab a hold of the promise. Let's grab a hold of what has been spoken over our lives. He wants to speak to you. Come on, all that negativity has been put to the cross. Come on, God, if you want me, take me. Hey, you can have me. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard? Because we're trying to put it in a democratic setting. We think we got to work this out. We think that there's more than what God's spoken. We think it's got to be hard. We get this thing in our head that God spoke it, and somewhere there's a disconnect between how it happens and what God said. But God is totally wanting to release us and said, I said the word, is that enough? And when that centurion knew that he knew that he knew, when God spoke, that's all that needed to happen. That's all that happened, and it came, and he received every promise. He was healed that instant. Jesus was even willing to accommodate and go to his place and lay on hand, but he said, no, you don't even need to do that. You just need to say the words. Come on. Men and women of God. God uses them. God uses us, and we need each other. Now's the time. Come on, for great faith to begin to arise. And what he's bringing us back to is his word and his promise. He says, do you remember what I said about your life? Do you remember what I spoke to you 10 years ago? Sometimes it's 5 years ago. Maybe it's even right now. God spoke to you in a promise, and he said, this is who you are. And you know what? What we've done, unfortunately, sometimes we become so familiar with church, we become so familiar even with the Holy Spirit, that we do not capture and see beyond. The word's right there. We don't see beyond. Right now, men and women of God need to rise up and see beyond. They need to take God at his word and what he spoke and what he promised to community. And what the enemy has tried to do is he's tried to take away honor. He's tried to take away, even in our culture. You guys know the Ten Commandments? What comes before murder? Thou shalt not murder. What comes before thou shalt not commit adultery? What comes before stealing? You think those things are wrong? What comes before that? The first commandment that dealt with relationship with one another was honor your father and mother. How important is that in the kingdom of God? You tell me. It comes before that. Murder's pretty bad. Stealing's pretty bad. Adultery's pretty bad. But what about lacking honor? How you speak about one another? How do you speak about your parents? How do you value them? Because what happened was it robbed the people of their miracle because they didn't see beyond. We're going to have honor in this church because we value Christ and we value his word and what he says. We're going to have honor for our leadership. We're going to have honor for our state, for our government. Come on, God, read the Bible about what it says about that. Come on, that's how the kingdom works. And we're stepping in a time of period where now is the time, the now faith needs to arise up inside of us to respond as kingdom people. Because the other stuff doesn't work. The other stuff restricts God and his ability to give us miracles, signs, and wonders. And there's a breaking forth and there's a great awakening that's happened in this area, in this community. And he's showing us. He says, okay, this is where I'm bringing you back to the place where I first saw you, where I first last left you, where you took that road. I want you to come back here and I want you to know this is where I want you to be and this is what I want you to do. I'm taking you back to the word that was over your life that God promised you. And he's telling you to arise and shine. He's saying, hey, you are great right now. And the world needs your greatness. And it's beyond that. And he's breaking the seals. Come on, he's breaking those things that have been put a cloud over our eyes when we see things and we respond, when we come to church late, when it comes to tithes and offerings. God's breaking that way and he's showing us the power of kingdom to respond to his Holy Spirit. To respond to his fullness and his goodness, to see beyond. Jesus could be standing right here, right before you, right now. He's in the room here, right now. And I could miss it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss it. Come on, Jamie, it's right here, right now. Come on, Darla, it's right here, right now. Could it be that this is the day that the Lord has made and the permission that he's given for me is to rejoice and be glad in it? Could today be the day? I mean, seriously, could today be the day? Could today be the blessed day of the Lord? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Jesus said something so significant because he sent the prophets. And he sent the prophets to Jerusalem. In Matthew 23, he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those that I sent you, how often have I longed to gather you, your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Was there retaliation there? Was there hate? Was there anger there? No. He sent a message. He sent his prophets. He sent them there. And he said, look, he said, under her wings, I wanted to gather you together, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You will not see me move until you honor those that I said. You will not see me move until you honor, until you value what I'm doing right here, right now in your life. You will not see me again. We got to break the thing of familiar. We got to break it, guys. We got to go beyond it. I'm challenging the faith. I'm challenging the spirit to go beyond what I know, what I can do in my own abilities. It's the upgrade time in the spirit. But you won't see me until you say bless it, until you value those that God has sent. Not even just people, but yourself. Come on, what about yourself? What have I done for you? That's what Jesus said. Man, and it was such a love scripture when he said, man, I want to gather you guys. I want to bring you together. Do you see what God's doing in his kingdom? Can you see beyond the outside? I'm telling you, right now, I've been talking to people, and there's just so many things that are going on in people's lives right now. It's amazing. Relationship issues, financial issues. Does it feel like what he said there, that your house seems desolate? What is he bringing us back to? He's bringing us back to his kingdom. He's bringing us back to who we are and who he is for us. He's not wanting to destroy your life. He's wanting to gather us. He's wanting us to bring us together. That talk about unity, how we see each other, how we respond to each other. How do I look at Linda? How do I look at Tom? How do I look at the brothers and sisters in the Lord? How do I respond to them? Could it be that I am restricting my own miracle because I'm not looking beyond people's natural and I'm not looking to the supernatural. I'm not looking to what God is doing on the earth. Could it be that? Am I missing because of that?
And if that's so, God, I repent. God, I repent right now. Lord, show me. Lord, as Paul said, the eyes of my heart being enlightened, that I would know the hope of the eyes of my heart. Lord, areas in my life, come on. And this is where Peter McHugh came. He said, we've used so many things to cope with life on earth, and God has given us this huge thing called kingdom that he wants us to walk in. But we've worked it some other way, and we've used those things to cope with life, and it's not working. It's a big sense of frustration. And it's not, it's moving inside, and God's breaking the seal of frustration. He's breaking that, and you're still at that same spot. But he's about to push you over, and what you're going to say is this: you said, God, Dady, you got a prophetic word about your life. And you got to hold him to his word. Sometimes we don't fight and we don't contend for the word of God that's been spoken on our lives. We let it go. Maybe that's down the road. But I'm telling you, man of God, this is your day and this is your hour. The Lord has not turned his back on you yet. Today and this day forth, God has anointed you to speak to the heart and the Indian and the reservation, says the Lord. And in that is your miracle. You said, Lord, that I would go. Lord, you called me to places and beyond my own understanding. He's called every single one of us to places like that. And when Jesus was sitting in their midst, it was pulling people beyond themselves. Praise God that he would pull you beyond yourself, beyond something that you even understand, man. It's like, really? Really? Absolutely. Absolutely, Dwayne. Dwayne's a game changer. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Assume the position is what Graham Cook always says. Father, I thank you so much. There's a song that goes, you will not relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. What's that song? Something like that. You will not relent until you have it all. God, I thank you right now for every man, woman, and child. Lord, you do not stop. Your spirit does not stop. And you continue to press on us and move on us until you have it all, Lord Jesus. God, I know you want it all, and it's for our benefit. Lord, I pray for every man, woman, and child right now in this room right now, Lord, that is struggling to see beyond. God, I pray they would not miss their moment. Father, I pray that you will awaken us to what has been spoken on our lives. And God, I pray that you would show us, Lord Jesus. Come on, the beyond. Because right now, I'm telling you, you're on critical moments. There are people in this room right now that need to make some decisions about their lives. And they need to look beyond because they can't miss their miracle. We cannot miss our miracle moment, guys. As Community Church, as believers in the North County, as the body of Christ, come on, we cannot miss our miracle moment. And it's happening right before us. It's in the midst of the storm that God comes through. I'm telling you, he's done it time and time and again in our darkest hour. He comes like a flood, but I don't want to miss it. I got to see beyond. I got to look to the promise. Come on, I got to look to the promise, God. Come on, Lord Jesus. Let us not miss our moment today. Let us not miss our moment tomorrow. Let us not miss the encounters, God, that you said, things that have laid dormant in our hearts, Lord. I pray for a resurrection of life to those things in our hearts that would break the seal, Father God, of things that have been so long and it's been so deep, Lord, that you will not relent. God, you said you are the Redeemer, the Restorer of even time and things of past. So God, would you look to your servant one more time? God, would you look to favor to us one more time? And would you speak to us, Lord, and show us, Father God, right now, Lord Jesus, how to respond in a kingdom way? Because the world is crying for kingdom. The world needs the chains broken. They'll need things restored, God. And you've called us as your people to go forth and do it, Lord. Our miracle is right there. It's right there for the taking, God. We as your people... God, I love you so much. You didn't stop and you're trying to gather us. You're not quitting on any of us. You're staying faithful and true. He's watching us and he's cheering you on. He says, you're going to get it. Keep going. Keep pressing onwards. Father, I thank you for your spirit right now. For those who are making choices about their life, even right now, when Jake comes up and he calls for the house of God, even this house, Lord. Lord, where this house has been beaten down with words, Lord, you said, and I'm going to come back, and you said this house would be an apostolic resource center, touching nation. I didn't say it, you did. and the miracle lies in there. You said this place, hallelujah, would be a healing center where people would come and be healed. They would come before hospitals. They would come here. You said thousands would come, Lord Jesus. Lord, you said we are a training center, a house of pastors. You said it. I didn't. Lord, you called me to be a pastor. You called me to preach and speak the word, restoring generations, restoring broken hearts. You said, not me, Lord, I receive you. I put you above all of that. You said it, Lord, you said. Come on, men. Come on, women of God. It's time to lift it up and say, you said. Come on and respond to the kingdom. Come on, what is the Spirit of God telling you right now? About his house, about your house, about you. Let us be kingdom people. Let us resort to him now, Lord, as we release it unto you, God, and completely trust you for what you need to do for us. God, you're so wonderful and beautiful. Hallelujah. Right now, we thank you, Father God. Nick and Lauren, you guys are precious servants of the Most High God. God's going to take you on a journey of a lifetime. And you're going to learn more about him in the next 2 months than you've learned in your whole lifetime. Because you've decided to move in a way that is beyond you. And it's brought you out of your comfort zone. For the Lord God has not relented on your life. But in fact, he's given you an upgrade in the Spirit. Because Nick, you got a powerful ministry. Lauren, you got a powerful ministry. And it's in that there's your upgrade. You have this anointing to speak and lift people up. Nick, you have an anointing to minister to the brokenhearted, to speak life into those who have no life. I'm telling you, that's your upgrade. I'm telling you, every resource is attached to that upgrade, buddy. I'm speaking to myself. I'm speaking to Pastor Jake. I'm speaking to Pastor Tom. I'm speaking to Andrew. I'm speaking to Les. I'm telling you, man, servanthood leads to the greatest in the kingdom of God is a servant of all. It's time that we rise up and we respond and see ourselves as he does. God, I thank you for your tremendous love. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Spirit in this room this morning. Hallelujah, God. Never be the same. Hallelujah. Right.
Praise God. Well, we respect the word of God that has been spoken right here, right now, in this service. We respect, we honor the man of God, the men and women of God, but we honor God in what he's spoken. And, you know, sometimes we don't get to share our deep, maybe sometimes you don't even think a person has a heart. We're supposed to rule from the heart. And this place here, called Community Church International, grabbed my heart a long time ago. And so we're just looking for upgrade. You know, we're not going back. We're sixth grade. We're not going back to fifth. We're going to seventh and eighth and ninth. And that's the challenge that we have before us. And we're trying to push ahead just in the natural realm also. So if you want to give today, I want to take that word that was given to us, and if you're wanting to give a yard of concrete or 2 yards, I'm signed up for 2 yards. It's $140 a yard, and that we can take care of that. That's great. If you can't do it, you can't do it. No problem. But be blessed. Be a cheerful giver in every aspect that you do. Amen. And let's see. Is Jeff here? Oh, okay.